Turn to Acts chapter 9.
Good.
And I'm going to read there. Let's just start there in verse 1. This is kind of Paul going, or I won't say Paul going to see Jesus, but when Paul has his meeting with Jesus. And Saul yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any in this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as they journeyed, they came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth when his eyes were opened. He saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in a house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Here he hath authority for the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Okay, let me go ahead and read down through 20. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul was certain days with the disciples that were there at Damascus. Okay, so we see this encounter whereas others, Mary and them, were going to see everyone knows Hunter, that's his friend Nathan. Where's the girls?
At the house.
Okay. We see Saul going out and breathing. What's the term? He was just, obviously he was against the way, and he was gathering up all those who believed. And so instead of him going to see Jesus, Jesus comes to see him in a different way, and we'll read that here in just a second. But I want you to notice something. And immediately there, in verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Just as in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we see that there is a time separation between verses, there is also one here. And you'll pick that up when you go to Galatians chapter 1. Because if you keep on reading, it just looks like Saul, Paul, the scales from his eyes, he was strengthened, he goes on about with his new ministry. Well, that doesn't happen. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we'll start around verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me by his grace. to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia." Okay? This is the first place he went after his conversion. He leaves for Arabia. Now, I haven't really dissected that to see how long he stayed there. I mean, there's speculation that he stayed there 3 years, just kind of like the...
3 years.
Yeah, there's some who speculate he was there for a period of time, but I mean, I don't know how long. But I know that he went into Arabia to learn what the Lord had to share with him now. Then, returned again to Damascus, where he initially had started to go. Okay? And from there on, you read the story how it goes from there. Okay, so we have an individual, and of course, we know him as Paul, who met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And as I did a lesson here not too long ago, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians 5. This Jesus, whom he meets, is different than the Jesus that the apostles, the 12 knew. 2 Corinthians 5, let's read verse 14 through 16. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Now this next verse is the one that, again, we did a lesson on here not too long ago. This is the Jesus that he knows and we know differently from the Jesus that they knew. "Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh," Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, "yet now henceforth know we him no more." This is the Jesus whom Paul now knows. He knew of the Jesus before. He was around at that time. He heard of him. He knew what was going on. But he's gotten a new revelation. And when he went into Arabia, that was revealed to him. This is the Jesus that he knows, and the Jesus that he's going to go out and start preaching, and this is the Jesus that we're supposed to preach. The one after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Okay? We know that this person was sent to the Gentiles, as we read earlier. He was not sent to preach a repentance and remission of sins. He was not sent to baptize with water. He did have some spiritual gifts at first. I mean, he spoke in tongues and raised dead and healed the sick and took Nazarite vow and did all kinds of stuff that you find underneath that kingdom doctrine. But that wasn't commissioned to him and later ceased. And he was sent for the here and now. So I ask you, who is this?
Paul.
Hey, thank you. It's not a conversation. This is these questions, but you can ask them. Don't be ashamed.
I have one, please.
Okay.
I was not familiar with that verse about Paul being baptized. Was this his second baptism? Because all Jews were baptized, weren't they?
How old was he? He had to be 30 years old to go into ministry in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he would have had to have been ceremonial washed. Okay. And that is considered a baptism.
Yeah.
So, this would be...
He was a Sanhedrin, wasn't he? I mean, hierarchy. And, so he would definitely have been baptized.
He would have been ceremonially washed already.
Yeah.
Now, this one would be in conjunction with an identification.
Sure.
This baptism would have been an identification. I'll get to that later. You know, so we know that Paul was at least washed twice, amongst probably many other times. you hear the good news percolating back there? Okay, and to prove this, go to Romans 1:1. We don't have to. I mean, don't take what I say or anybody else says for that matter. Just what does the Word say? Okay? But Paul was an apostle. I mean, Paul has to defend himself throughout his writings, and even today, still is being defended. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. 1 Corinthians. It says this multiple places. I'm just going to read the two. If it says it once, it's Scripture, you know, so not that you have to read it any more than that. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Okay, so we see that Paul was called to be an apostle by the will of God. Okay, turn to Acts chapter 13. He just didn't up and decide he was going to do this all of a sudden. He had it made the way he was. He could have lived in that lifestyle and stayed that way and had a wonderful life. In chapter 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul," which we know as Paul, "for the work whereunto I have called them." And if you want to know that his name turned to Saul, you can read down there in verse 9, it tells you that. Okay? Paul was, whereas in comparison to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, their commission, where they were sent to the Jew first, and do all these things which I commanded you, don't go into the way of the Gentiles. Paul was specifically sent to the Gentiles. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, verse 13. This is Paul speaking. "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." You can read this again, if you're taking notes, in 1 Timothy 2:7 and again in 2 Timothy 1:11. Okay? He was specifically sent to Gentiles. Okay? Whereas the 12 and in their commissions were sent to water baptize, Paul was not sent to water baptize. And I emphasize the water. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. In verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Again, another distinct difference between the commissions. The 12 were specifically sent to water baptize. He was not. Paul was sent to preach the gospel of Christ. What were the 12 preaching? Well, the gospel of the kingdom. It was a baptism of repentance. Okay? Repenting and water baptism was that commission. Okay? Paul was sent to preach the gospel of Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 1. By the way, Hunter, Jamie's dad's not doing real well, so they're loading him up, taking him to the hospital. That's why they're not here. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul preached about this last Sunday. You know more about that through that. Turn to Romans 15 and verse 29. "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ." Again, this is his message. And you can see this again. Turn over to 16, 25. Same book. "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." I know you've heard this 100 times, okay? But you're going to hear it again. Kept secret since the world began. Keep that in mind as we go through this. Okay? Paul was indeed commissioned. Turn to Acts chapter 22. You know, when people want to come up to you and say, "You know, Paul, this guy was a denomination that I've been involved in, teaching a Bible class at the new East Hamilton School, and he posed a question, and it was basically tying something back to Jesus after the flesh. And a young lady brought up, said, well, what about when Paul says this? Well, that's Paul's writings. He's really not an apostle.
He said that?
Yeah. Just blew me away. And I went back to a preacher who was good friends with him, and I said, how can he say that? And he said, well, I can't believe he'd say that. I said, I have to go by what the student said. And he told her that he didn't think Paul's writing should be there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay? So today we are still fighting, was Paul truly commissioned? Acts chapter 22, and let's look at verse 21. Now this is who's speaking here? Well, Paul's speaking as what the Lord has said unto him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Acts chapter 9, we see him being met on the road to Damascus. He's blinded. He has Ananias come. The scales removed. He goes away into Arabia for a period of time. The revelation is revealed to him. He comes back. He starts teaching. I mean, over and over again, he has these revelations. And he said, and the Lord said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, and here I will send thee far hence. There should not be any argument.
Why do you think that people argue the fact that Paul's not an apostle?
Because the simplicity, they can't believe that I don't have to do something to be saved. We've got to do something. It's too easy. They don't want to believe, you know, what they call easy believism. You guys can believe that and go carry on the way you want to. No, that's not what Scripture says. Yes, it is simply believing, putting your trust in what Christ already did on the cross. But that doesn't give me freedom to go do whatever I want. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Okay? And I think that's why it is. I mean, Satan's having a field day. That's number one reason. Okay? And I'll get to that here in a second too, because he used me in that. Paul too, like the others, was commissioned. We have his commission. It wasn't just given to him, but we have the commission that was given to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If we're going to sit there and say that Paul isn't an apostle, his writings don't matter, he wasn't truly commissioned, then we weren't either. Because we're to follow him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. If he's not an apostle, then what are you doing following? If he's not commissioned by the Lord to go out and preach the gospel of Christ, what are you doing going out there and doing it? You're teaching the wrong message if you are. 1 Corinthians 11. Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Christ gave him specific instructions on what to do. And Paul was following that to the letter, and we're supposed to follow in what Paul had done. I'm not taking anything away from Jesus' earthly ministry and the guys and gals that served. I mean, they did a wonderful job, and they did exactly what they were supposed to do. But you know what? There's a dividing line right through here where he stops this ministry of the kingdom with Israel, and he starts this program with Paul, which is you and me. And that's what we're supposed to be following.
That's what people miss.
That's what people miss.
You read it was kept secret since the world began, so the prophets didn't know it.
That's right.
The prophecy didn't tell it. Nobody understood it.
Remember I told you to keep that? We still haven't got to it, but he brought it up again. Remember, still keep that part of that verse in mind. Kept secret since the world began. That means before Paul, it was a secret. They can't be preaching it. They can't be teaching it. They didn't know it because it was still a secret.
And anybody knows, then the word's not perfect.
That's right. If anybody had known before that, then this whole book's a lie. And then if it's a lie, then we're wasting our time being here.
Exactly.
Turn to Philippians 3. Philippians Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us as an example. Okay? Does Paul make it clear we're supposed to follow him? I mean, he could have said it once. He said it more times than that, but these are just the three I wrote down. Okay? So there's no doubt that we're to follow. So then we sit there and say, okay, well, where is our commission? Okay, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, you go into churches. I was a part of those churches, and I was a part of the problem. Mark 16:16, or Matthew 28:19-20. And they got the big map, and they got all these pieces of yarn stretching out through all these places that they're going out and fulfilling the Great Commission. Just need to change the verse and the message. Still got to go out there on this map. We still got these pieces of yarn going off all these places. It might be your neighbor. But we still got to go. It's just, it's not Mark 16:16. It's not Matthew 28.
What was the last verse you read about Mark, though?
That was Philippians 3:17, yes. Mark them as an example.
That's what's hard is when people, I call it they mark up. Because they say, they don't believe in forgiveness of sins, they don't believe this. It's such and such, and then, you know, you're sort of branded as a cult. But then they use Paul's scripture to mark it.
Yeah.
And they go by Paul's scripture, that verse.
Exactly.
That's what I say. I say, well, you're using Paul's scripture, which is, we go by his writing, so.
You can't have it both ways.
And even before we started rightly dividing, I always thought his scriptures didn't match up. I thought, this doesn't make sense.
Yep.
So.
Sometimes we just blatantly read over it and never notice it. That was me.
Yes, me.
You could see the differences. You know, we'd read over it and say, just, well, what Paul says, just mysteries of God, you know, how this stuff fits together.
A lot of mysteries of God.
Yeah. So, let's look at our commission then. So, we were commissioned. Let's start in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, okay, what does that mean? In Christ, well, you have to have believed. You have to have put your trust in Him. Okay, He is a new creature. There wasn't anything new going on right here. Okay, that had been prophesied all back through this. Okay, nothing new. Nothing new until right here when Christ met Paul on the road to Damascus. You are a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's that old program. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, who hath given unto us, what? The ministry of reconciliation. This is your commission.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You were to go out into all the world and preach that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them.
That's
our commission. Not going out and saying you need to repent of your sins. Not telling one out there and telling them you got to be water baptized. Not telling them they got to go to church, that you got to tithe, you got to this, this, and this. Simply that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Because when God put Israel away for not doing what He had asked them to do, He cast them out where we already were. And that was where we had no hope. We were without God in the world. Okay? let me read on down. Now then, we are ambassadors. And most everybody knows what an ambassador is. I mean, we got ambassadors all over. You know, it's a representative of the United States going into another country and putting forth our policy and letting them know what we think and believe. We are His ambassador. And what we are to take and preach to the law of this world is this right here. Okay? We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Not only He didn't just put our sins upon Him. That wouldn't completely deal with sin. He made Him sin. And when He dealt with it on the cross, sin no longer was the issue. And is no longer the issue. There, and Some of this stuff might be strange to you, Nathan. I don't know. You know? And I think Hogue is the one who brought this up here a while back. Got these guys questioning. People are going to split hell wide open whose sins have been forgiven. Okay? Hell is full of people already whose sins who have been forgiven. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, whose sins did He die for? Everybody. How many of your sins had you committed when Christ died on the cross? None of them. But He knew you were going to sin, and He died for those sins. Therefore, sin is no longer the issue, but belief. Okay? Alright. So we have to believe the gospel of Christ, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mark, one thing you're talking about being given the ministry of reconciliation, people read that next verse about how we are ambassadors for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's not putting a fish on your car, bump sticker. The only time that you're an ambassador for Christ is if you're sharing the ministry of reconciliation. A lot of times we think it's coming to church and talking about different things in the Word together, but it's about taking it out there and being an ambassador. That means being set apart, being set aside, and it's the issue of the religious world is who you're an ambassador for. You're an ambassador in front of them,
mm-hmm.
because the religious world are the ones who were caught up by the traditions of man, who were lost, and they'll hate you. But an ambassador, a true ambassador, he'll die for his country. He'll die for what he believes in. That's why they have to go in and get them out in other countries
yep.
when there's a problem.
Before
they
fall.
Stay there and lock the doors and just die.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's oaths they take. So a lot of times we think, well, if I go to this church because I'm a grace believer, that I'm an ambassador. Mm-hmm. Now, ambassadorship shows the birth, what you do. There's one thing we've got to remember, the direction.
You've got to put feet to it.
You said it's commission, then it needs to be committed.
That's right.
Would you not say, though, everything you just said is just, I mean, it's exactly what our commission is. But before we can fulfill that commission faithfully, we got to get trained up.
Sure.
We got to know. We got to teach people how to read the Bible, not just go out and say, "Well, you need to be reading your Bible." But that will have people spinning.
What is you know? What does so Timothy say God's will is?
And we go out, and then we have to straighten out all this stuff. If we could just teach people how to read the Word, if we could start them off early, that's why I love to come here and see all the young people. Go and learn this early. Because there is so much false indoctrination now that you have to reformat people's hard drives before you can ever start reconciling.
But Paul never handed out meat until he shared the cross of Christ. Because he says, I wish I could share more with you.
Yeah, you're still on the milk.
But he can't. This, as a body of believers, being responsible to be trained to be faithful. I mean, there's things that we can do to help ourselves. But also, out there, we have to minister this stuff. Because those religious people, they have been following the traditions of man. They are trained. They know. You got all the programs. But the issue is, you can start your greatest conversation, at least get them thinking. Sharing what you just shared about a ministry of reconciliation. We just say we're ministers of reconciliation. Share what that is. That Christ became sin for us.
Yeah.
I think we don't share that enough.
Yep.
That's not it. We need to be here learning. There's no doubt we don't do that. A lot of us get caught up in becoming wiser in the Scripture, but doing nothing about it out there.
This is true in whatever you want to call it, faith, religion. You know, a lot of people just want to get their ticket punched. Well, I'm saved. That's all I got to worry about. You know, there's more to it than that. Because we are created in Christ unto good works. And those works and rewards have an effect on what takes place when you get to heaven. Okay? But Timothy tells us two things. One, study to show thyself, in the letters to Timothy, study to show thyself approved. So you just can't be saved and be all right. And what was God's will for man? That all men would be saved and what? Come to the knowledge. You can't get that knowledge unless you get in here and study it.
You got to get prepared. You got to get trained up. I have seen. I think what I'm alluding to is that I have personally seen very sad examples of people that would get this message of pure grace, and I mean it would really grab them, and then they just had to share it, which we should do. I don't disagree with that in the tiniest, but I think that then they go out unprepared, and then they meet this hardcore, vicious opposition. I think we have to recognize that we've got some vicious opposition.
Oh, yeah.
They meet that, and what happens is they don't reconcile any of that unbelief. They, in fact, get frustrated and become defeated.
Well, I did the same thing.
And it's like that. It's like the Lord talked about those new sprouts of grass that come up, that hot sun hits them, and they're gone. So I think that the milk, all those things, I mean, it all feeds together. You've got to take that baby, you've got to bring it along, you've got to nurture it, teach them how to read the Bible, get them trained, get them equipped, and then they can be it. An ambassador does not go into a foreign country to represent this country, so he is well trained.
Yeah, he has to know what this country expects, what this country believes.
Well, the enemy is well trained also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the issue comes back to our responsibilities as teachers, and that's everybody if they know the truth.
But the enemy is Satan, not the person you're talking to.
No. But the issue is we have to keep in touch with those people. They're not going to come back to us.
Right.
You have to reach out to them. I mean, there's a lot of direction and responsibility that we have for those who are trained, never trained enough, to continue to keep up with those people.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great leader. You have had us say, well, they're gone, they're back in the, you know. Sometimes, is there a fight? Is there, you know.
It's easy. I had a lot of excitement when I first started seeing this and went forth with it. And I stumbled up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, I sat back initially and would share what I know, what I knew then. But you start studying.
Yeah.
And then, I'm not saying it makes it easy, but at least then you know what you're talking about.
So that person,
you know what God's Word says.
That person that receives the gospel of grace and becomes saved and has a true hope, they have a responsibility and they know it. Now, they can choose to follow the flesh again, or they can follow the Spirit, and there are many that follow the flesh, like Paul's saying, it's because they're confounded by a lot of men and a lot of people. But the issue is, I'm telling you now, those that I know need the grace message, that got it, there's no doubt in my mind, this morning, if they're somewhere else that is teaching wrong doctrine, mm-hmm. they still know it. And so that's an area we have to brush our shoulders and hope they come back to the knowledge of the truth. You know, but our main job is to share in the ministry of reconciliation. Now, our main job as we come together as a body of believers is to get out of the milk and into the meat.
Yeah. Well,
but the problem is we're getting meat, and we're not even sharing milk.
Well, we're out there trying to share meat with people who aren't even saved yet.
Yeah.
Okay? Show them that God was in Christ reconciling the world so they can be reconciled first. Then they can be taught.
That's right. That's the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul is reminding them of what he did before he wrote that letter and that what they're doing again. It's a perfect picture of what people are doing to get the grace message that end up in the world again.
I found it very difficult because a lot of people I've encountered around here are combined. It's a mixture of lordship and Pentecostal theologies kind of mold together. And I've noticed there's also a trend of bits and pieces of dispensationalism is actually dropping off in Pentecostal right now.
It's a beast too.
It's getting crazy. Mm-hmm. These people are just nuts. That's the only way to put it.
But it ain't our job to fix them. It's our job to share the ministry mm-hmm. of reconciliation. They have to take with what they want because they see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They have to ignore it or not. That's why Paul says to be tender-hearted in general, not striving.
Go back to each one of yours. Understanding your salvation experience. I was steeped in what I had before. And that's what I'm at now. For years, I was one of the 12. And I stood behind one of these, teaching what the 12 taught. For years, I preached repentance and remission of sins. For years, I preached water baptism. For years, even though I was against legalism, I still preached the law, the do's and don'ts.
Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ."
That was my next one for you. I taught tradition.
<It's better.
laughs>
Wow. So, yeah. I mean, it's, Paul struggled with this.
Yeah.
He warned the people.
Exactly. For years, I was in confusion, and I caused confusion. Think back to the people that you ministered to before you understood this. And right now they have a false hope. If they truly didn't just believe and put their faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then they're still lost.
Another thing to remember too is, as ambassadors, we don't realize that means you don't belong here. It's not supposed to fit. It's not supposed to be popular for you. It's not supposed to be, hey, we're mega, we're this. The issue is, you don't fit here, you're an ambassador. Okay, and if we'll get up in the morning and realize that we don't belong here as a saved believer of the gospel of grace, it can help us a lot when we don't get our way. Because we can remind ourselves that we don't belong here.
This map of the world, it's not that you don't belong here when you get over here. You don't even belong where you're at.
Absolutely.
Because the whole world is, in a sense, is against you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
He says ambassador. That's a major issue. A lot of people think they're supposed to fit and get everybody else to fit with them. We're not supposed to fit. They need to understand nobody else is going to fit with them.
Yep. For years, not only that could cause confusion, but it's kind of hard to say this about yourself. And that's why I'm just saying I. You can decide if this is you or not. For years, I was a minister of Satan transformed into an angel of light.
Yeah. Without knowing it.
Yeah. For years, I was lost thinking I was saved. For years, I was given false hope. For years, I practiced religion. Okay? But now my eyes have been opened.
And you can't say it's through no fault of mine. It is your fault because you did not show yourself. Study to show yourself. But once you have the light bulb, you experience it. Hey, that doesn't make sense.
As a child or a young adult, I listened to what
preacher said.
The teachers and preachers said, and that was good enough.
Yeah.
You guys, just listen to me isn't enough.
No.
Listen to Paul's not enough. Listen to anyone else in here is not enough.
Listen to the scripture.
Go home and prove it by what scripture says. Ephesians 1:18. I'm going to have to wrap this up.
What I get here, and this stuff works me up and gets me pumped up, and I walk outside and eat lunch, and I get mad because I don't think about it.
You know, people, it's a cliche, but people say, you know, it's like the light just came on.
Yeah.
And when my dad shared with me a couple of truths, I read some scripture, and the light came on.
Okay? Ephesians 1:18, "In the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of glory and His inheritance in the saints." Folks, the light came on. I understood what He was talking about, what He was talking about, and proved it when I sat there and read Scripture. Okay? Now I know where my salvation lies. And now I am that ambassador for Christ. But now, you fill in the blank in your own life. All these commissions were great. And they did... We're not preaching against them. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, when they were supposed to do it, and are yet going to do what they're supposed to do when we're out of here. Okay? But God has given a new set of instructions for us to be carrying out right now. And that's what we have to be doing today. And I know I gotta go through this. Remember I told you that? Where's that verse in me first?
Timothy.
Yeah, Timothy.
1 Timothy 1:16.
Yeah.
Timothy.
Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on His name. Okay? Paul was the first one to bring this message forth. Remember we said it was a secret since the world began? Was it Acts chapter 3? Paul was preaching that what was kept secret since the world began. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. This is what the Peter and the 12, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. They knew what was spoken since the world began. Paul brought to us what was kept secret since the world began. They can't be the same thing. Okay? And it was in Paul first that this message was given.